Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this day of rejoicing in the harvest, which is the theme for our sermon this morning, our text is taken from the Holy Gospel as read from Matthew chapter 13. Rejoicing in the harvest. Rejoicing in the harvest indeed. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, yes, it's Thanksgiving already. It's that warm and wonderful holiday where we give ourselves permission to overeat. You know, there's no better holiday where we can enjoy turkey and mashed potatoes, cranberry salad, sweet potatoes, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, banana cream pie, pie and more pie, and lest I forget, it must have real whipped cream. The history of Thanksgiving, though, in America, it dates all the way back to 1863, when President Abraham Lincoln signed a decree and established Thanksgiving as a time to express our thankfulness to God for all the blessings that He has given to the United States. As we today close out another church year, it's very appropriate that we also do the very same thing as we start a new church year on Sunday. The harvest is now complete, and no matter what the yield may have been, being thankful to our God is always, always fitting. So this morning, we consider our Lord's harvest parable. If you wish to follow along, and if you have a Bible, you can certainly turn to Matthew 13, beginning at verse 24. This parable seems so simple. Jesus Himself, as we think about it, He's the farmer. We, His children, we are the good seed, the wheat. Satan is the enemy. Satan is the farmer who plants the evil seed, the weeds, amongst the good seed. The good and evil seeds, they all grow together until it's time for the harvest. All is harvested, but the good is put into the Lord's barn. But the evil seed, the weeds, they are put into bundles, and they are thrown onto the fire to be burned. Did you notice from our reading this morning that Jesus begins by saying, the kingdom of heaven is, more often than not, He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus often taught about the kingdom, and He often referred to Himself as the king. As Jesus told His parable, just before the feeding of the 5,000, by the way, the Jews who were listening were awaiting and expecting an earthly kingdom and an earthly Messiah, an earthly king who would destroy the hated Romans. Yet later, and this is interesting, as Jesus stood before a Roman, his name Pilate, He told him that His kingdom is not of this world. Your Lord's kingdom, my friend, is an unseen spiritual kingdom. Your Lord's kingdom is not marked by pomp, circumstance, splendor, or politicians. His kingdom is striking by its meekness and humility. Membership in His kingdom is not marked by birth, status, or money. To be a member of His kingdom, one must be reborn spiritually there at the font. In the waters of holy baptism, you are given life and faith, and you continue to live by repentance and faith. His kingdom is not temporal. His kingdom is not earthly. His kingdom is eternal and heavenly. His kingdom is future, yet, my friends, it is right now. His kingdom is not limited by space or time, But His kingdom embraces the whole universe. His kingdom is not ruled by force or oppression or coercion or by lies. No, His kingdom is ruled, my friends, in love. The Son of Man sows the good seed. And He continues to sow this good seed via His called servants, clergy and laity alike. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. That's you and me and all whose heart Jesus is reigning in as Lord and Savior. They and you are the good seed. That is, you are useful, profitable, and productive. You and they are good, not by what you do, by the way, but by His righteousness given freely to you, which you have received in faith in your Lord Jesus Christ, who is your Savior. Jesus is the one who plants you, His children of righteousness, so that you will testify of His saving grace and bring forth the fruits of righteousness for His glory, and yes, for His glory alone. Now the enemy we know oh so well, he is the devil, known as Satan. Notice how the enemy works here in the parable that Jesus tells. He works under the cover of darkness. He works under the cover of darkness so no one will be able to tell or to see what his evil deeds are. Satan is the prince of darkness who seeks to undermine the kingdom of God, and he opposes everything. My friends, he opposes everything that Jesus does and says. Therefore, he opposes you, and he opposes his word. Satan sows the evil seeds that grow amongst the good seed. It's interesting that the Greek word that is used for what Satan sows is translated as weeds or tares. You've heard of that, the parable of the tares. Also, darnel. We've talked about darnel before. It looks just like wheat. But it can also be translated as thorns or thistles. The evil weeds of Satan look just like children of God, the darnel. But when they both finally ripen, when they mature, and when they are ready to harvest, there at the harvest, the weeds are found to be fruitless. The weeds are useless. Since those who follow Satan, since Satan has done the same, refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord, and therefore they altogether reject the gracious rule of Jesus. Now I know you're thinking to yourself, what's to be done? Can the weeds be pulled up? That was the question of the workers. Jesus says, no, no, no. That's impossible because everything is all tangled up together. And when we pull out the weeds, we don't want to pull out the weed at the same time. So Jesus says, wait. Wait until the time of separation. And that time of separation will come. But right now, in this time of grace, the weeds of the devil, let them grow along with the wheat. For the hope is this, that those evil weeds will hear the truth of God's word, that they will hear the law, and the law will convict their heart. And in the hearing of the law, they will be driven to confess their sins, to repent of their sins, to confess their sins, and to be forgiven. And then, there at the font, those evil weeds are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are given a new birth in holy baptism that transforms them. This is the work of God that changes them into good seed, children of God. Yes, that is, after all, my dear friends, what you and I were at one time. We were not children of God at our birth, since we all inherit the sin of Adam. We were the evil seed that was sown by Satan. We were children of perdition, useless, and we were certainly lost. Scripture is very clear that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we have been left all to ourselves, to grow all by ourselves, to grow on our own, we would have been bundled up and thrown onto the fire to be burned for all eternity. But God doesn't burn us. He washes us. He washes us clean. And He makes us to produce, for it is He Himself who is working through us. We are now good grain, producing the works, the fruits of righteousness that the Holy Spirit works through us. And in those works of righteousness, we understand that it's all because of Jesus. It's because of what Jesus has done for you and for me and for all the children of God. Here He was crucified and died. At the tomb He was placed, but He didn't remain in the tomb. He rose on the third day by His mighty power. And since He is able to do such great work, He also changes us from weeds to wheat. Dearly beloved, God does this work because He so dearly loves each and every one of you. He chose to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who took all your sin and my sin and all the evil of the world. And He, Jesus, was burnt for you. He took all of our weediness onto Himself and nailed it to a cross. There at the place called the skull, God the Heavenly Father, God the Father of His Son, forsook His Son, and Jesus suffered the very fires of hell for you and for me. And when He was fully consumed, He was placed in a tomb and He rose after 3 days. He rose, my friends, uncharred. He rose to life and He gives that new life to you instead of what we truly deserve, the fire of hell. My dear brothers and sisters, yes, there will be a harvest. Just as there was a harvest this year in Shum and in Van Wert County and in Mercer County and in Adams County. There will be a day of harvest, a day of sorting, a day when sheep will be separated from goats, good fish from bad fish, wheat from the weeds. And this harvest and all this sorting is focused upon the cross of Jesus Christ. For it is here that forces people to make a confession. And they will either confess one of two things. They may confess that Jesus is not my Lord. I don't believe He died on the cross for me. And therefore they reject Him. But your confession and my confession is that we shout with joy, for we believe that Jesus is our God and He is our Lord to the glory of the Father, and is He who hung here, the very Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. He is the Lord who died for me, who saved me, and is here today for me to give me the greatest of all feasts, His very body and blood, for the forgiveness of all my sins. Therefore, dearly beloved, in closing, today Jesus tells you a harvest parable. Jesus tells you that He and He alone provides what is needed for weeds to become wheat, and so that those weeds may escape the fire. It truly is a thanksgiving today that as you gather with friends and family, it's a wonderful time to consider. There, as you sit in your dining room table or in your kitchen table, It's a time to consider how we, like you and me, have been called children of God. And therefore we give thanks to the one. We give thanks to the one man and the one man only who has made this possible for us. The one man who came, who lived, who died, and who rose again, who ascended to the right hand of the Father. And there he sits, interceding for you, proclaiming to the Father that that is my dear child. I have died for him. I have died for her. They are your children, O Father. Therefore, we do rejoice this day. We rejoice in the harvest, and we give thanks to the Lord. For as you have already said, the Lord, yes, the Lord is good. Thanks be to Jesus, the Lord of the harvest. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.